Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Fan Junkies Radio. I'm your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Mike McShane. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good for a Friday, I'll tell you. Pretty good for a Friday.
Well, you should be feeling great for a Friday, shouldn't you?
Well, you know.
I mean, we don't get weekends off, but still.
No, we don't. I know.
Playoff football is coming. It means one weekend, less towards the NHL season starting. Come on.
It's one week less of NFL football after that. That's kind of depressing, actually.
Yes, but you know what that means, though, right?
Okay.
We're just going to take steps closer to the off season, which we all love so much.
Well, maybe you do.
And then we take steps closer to our fantasy football leagues again, Mike. Come on.
You like every off season.
Off season is fun. I'm sorry, it is fun. And we're going to talk about that possibly on Monday, right?
One of the strangest sports fans I've ever met in my life. You like sports when they're not playing.
Well, and you're one of the strangest people I have met, Mike. So. Listen, I love the offseason. I think signings and trades, I think that is one of the most exciting parts of professional sports.
I do like the NFL draft, and that could although this year I think it's going to actually be a little bit boring.
This one's going to suck.
I mean, you know,
my friends, but it's going to be awful, Mike.
After round two, it will not be interesting. There will be nothing interesting after round two.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think there's going to be too much interesting of the NFL draft this season, but
might actually be after round one. I mean, I might take that back. It might be round one, and then that's it. We're all done.
That's it, round one you're giving it, and that's it?
That could be round one, and that's it.
I don't even think I'm going to be tuning in. So.
Wait, that's your time of year.
Listen, I'm not happy with the class. I'm not happy with my Jets and what they're possibly going to be able to get out of the draft. I mean, are there going to be a few surprises? I'm sure there will be. But at the same time, I'm just it's not an exciting class. It's not. Mm-hmm. And speaking of classes,
because you watch so much college football, I know.
I watch tons of college football. I mean, honestly, there's nobody, there's not a bigger fan of college sports than I am.
Oh yeah.
And everybody knows that.
Oh man, Call Out Friday. It's Call Out Friday, folks.
Absolutely. So before we do anything, yes, we're going to be joined by a very special guest today. WIFL Women's Indoor Football League Commissioner Dion Lee is going to join us to talk about the WIFL. What is the WIFL? Who created the WIFL? What is the future plans of the WIFL and how you can be an athlete and a teammate in the WIFL? National Combine Tryout Tour, Mike. It's going to be awesome.
Yep.
And it starts tomorrow in Los Angeles, California. It's going to run most of the year, and it ends August 31st in New York City, New York. We're going to put all the dates and locations up on fanjunkies.net. It'll be up on our Facebook page and our Twitter as well. We'll keep tweeting that out there. So, all of these women who are interested in playing football, they can come on down to the tryouts and, try to win themselves, a spot on these teams. There's going to be a lot of teams coming out there. So,
yep.
Professional women's football, the way it's meant to be played, Mike.
All right.
That's what it's going to be about. So before we talk to Dion, though, and as we were just talking about draft classes, we have to talk about an exciting class, and that was the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame class that came out on Wednesday. Unfortunately, they released all the names after we were done with Fan Junkies Radio this past Wednesday. But unfortunately, well, actually, fortunately for you, we didn't get to announce it because nobody got in.
Yep.
Absolutely nobody got in. Just going to throw out a few names that were on this ballot. Craig Biggio, Jeff Bagwell, Mike Piazza, Tim Raines, Curt Schilling, Kenny Lofton, Bernie Williams, Don Mattingly, Fred McGriff, Larry Walker, Edgar Martinez. You name it, this was probably the most exciting Baseball Hall of Fame class that there has been in years, Mike.
Well, it was certainly the most star-studded. I don't know if I would necessarily say exciting, but it certainly
was exciting.
Star-studded.
It was exciting. Every name in this list, you could say, contributed something really great to baseball. And with five names, you could say they created, you know, actually contributed a lot to baseball because, hey, steroids, all down this list.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, performance-enhancing drugs, all over the place. And that's what, and unfortunately, it shadowed the Hall of Fame class this year. And a lot of people were punished for it, Mike. As we said, nobody got in. Craig Biggio, 68.2% of the vote, Mike. And as we were talking pre-show, if the names of Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Rafael Palmeiro were off of this list, would Craig Biggio and Jack Morris, who play second with 67.7% of the votes, would they have got into the Baseball Hall of Fame this year?
It's possible, okay, although not necessarily assured. Because when you take a look at, say, the numbers of Rafael Palmeiro, who only got 50 votes, which was about 8.8% of the vote. When you take a look at Mark McGwire at 16.9% of the vote, would it have been enough to, would those votes, probably McGwire's numbers, if McGwire's numbers had all swung over, had every single one of them translated over to Biggio, obviously he was going to get in.
Listen, you
or
know what,
all of them
that we just listed, that's 637 votes that would have been open. And I guarantee you, it wouldn't have went to Jeff Conine. It wouldn't have went to Royce Clayton. More votes wouldn't have went to Aaron Seeley. And I would love to know who the guy is, the lone guy that voted for Aaron Seeley.
Well, some of these are probably write-ins. There were probably write-ins.
I don't know what it is. But listen, okay. Undull White, Todd Walker, Mike Stanton, they wouldn't have taken any of those votes from those five guys off the list.
Sure. Okay. Obviously. Listen, if there were a couple of names that, you know, whether you think they should be on there or not, if there were a couple of fewer names on the list, obviously we probably would have had at least one, two, maybe three inductees. No doubt about it. All right. Has this ever happened before? All right. There's the first question.
What? Where there was a shutout?
Where there was absolutely no inductees, right?
Yeah, I believe this was the ninth time that there was nobody inducted into the Major League Hall of Fame.
And when was the last time?
Oh, I think 96, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
really wasn't all that long ago.
No. Listen, you're almost talking 20 years. I mean, you know, we're pushing closer to that 20-year mark. So, yeah, almost 20 years ago. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a, you know, decent time ago. But still, all right. So, you know what? Let's not even talk about that. Let's erase the PEDs and the steroids from this list one right now. You got Craig Biggio, Jack Morris, Bagwell, and Piazza. 1, 2, 3, and 4. If they were off the list, those would have still been the top guys, and
right.
They would have got closer. Do you agree with that order, Mike?
Biggio, yes. Piazza, I probably would have jumped up above Morris and Bagwell. Bagwell, I would have third, and Morris, I would have fourth.
Okay. Now, why do you think Morris got all of those votes over Bagwell?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. I have no idea.
Was it because he was the lone good pitcher, you think? I mean, it's, you know, 254, you know, wins, 186 losses.
Yeah, Mike.
9-0 ERA, 18 years in the league. So he had a really nice career, Mike.
Yeah, you'd have to look at what the demographics were of who the folks were that were actually voting on this. Most of them, if not all of them, are media. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It already is. Yeah, it's all
beat. You know, following what occurred on Wednesday, we've heard a lot of talk about, the whole thing should be changed. The voting structure should be changed. Who the folks are that vote should be changed. Yeah, you know, we haven't even gotten into here yet whether what occurred on Wednesday was the right thing or the wrong thing. And I guess maybe that would be the question I throw to you, Jonathan. How do you feel about the fact that no one came out of this particular list here? And as you're pointing out, you're saying it was an exciting class. I just simply say it was a star-studded class.
I was very shocked that Biggio didn't get in. Of course I wanted Mike Piazza in. Of course I would have liked to have seen Jeff Bagwell get in. Even Jack Morris, you know, four-time World Series champion. World Series MVP in 91 with the Twins. So, you know, great, you know, really nice numbers. So even him, he was deserving of being in the Baseball of Fame. If not this year, definitely down the road. It's a real shame that I think those four players, including Tim Raines and Lee Smith, so let's say six players, were punished because of what others did. And I think that really pulled over into this Hall of Fame class, Mike.
Okay.
I think that was a big part of it.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate for a moment. Is it a punishment or is it a matter of mathematics? In other words, is a ballot list this long just impossible to navigate? With the threshold being at 75%, you've got a plethora of names here.
And we spoke about that last week.
Exactly. Yeah. There were so many names on this list that it almost makes it mathematically impossible. So I back up the bus for a moment and say, okay, is it a situation where you had, you know, for want of a better word, innocent people being penalized because of the reputation and the activities of a few? Or was it simply just a matter of mathematics?
Yeah.
In other words, if this same list comes up again next year, are we going to be looking at the exact same circumstances?
If you can't vote these guys in now, what's going to change from next year with the same exact names on the list?
Exactly. Plus, you're going to be adding a couple more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But then you look at it, too. I mean, you know, Julio Franco, David Wells, Steve Finley, Sean Greenhouse. So, yeah, I mean, do these guys really belong on that kind of ballot? I mean, did they have those type of careers where they deserve to be on a ballot? But at the same time, even if they aren't, these guys got 2, 4, 5 to no votes. It really doesn't matter if they're on it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you look at from, like, let's say 18 votes and up, I mean, there is a lot of names with a very, very high threshold, like you said.
Right.
That 75% is a very, very high threshold, and I honestly believe it should be knocked down a little bit if you're going to have that many names on the ballot every season.
Okay, now let's go the other direction. Let me swing the pendulum real quick before Dion gets in here and gives us a call. Let's swing the pendulum real quick the other direction completely, and that is to say, let's take the Barry Bondses, let's take the Sammy Sosas, the Mark McGuires. Should they actually, you know, forget it? Forget all of the allegations. Leave them get into the Hall of Fame.
If there was no allegations against them?
No. With the allegations in place, just vote them in. Because, listen, I've heard some writers yesterday make the case saying, you know, it's ridiculous. Just look, it's what it was. It was the industry as we knew the industry at the time. These guys did incredible things. Vote them in.
I don't think so.
I agree.
I don't. You know what? I really don't. And honestly, I don't even think they should be on the ballot. You know, that's just me.
Yes. I agree with you.
That's just where I stand on that matter. I don't think they should be on the ballot, number one. You know, it's tough, Mike.
I heard one writer make an excellent, excellent point, and this is something that I think sometimes all of us as sports fans have a tendency to forget. It's called a Hall of Fame, folks. All right?
Yeah.
Yes, if you go to Cooperstown, you can walk through and you can see all the memorabilia and you can see the wonderful things that have been preserved. But make no mistake, it is not a museum. It's a Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
This is a place where you go to be recognized.
Yeah.
Right? This is a place where you go because you were one of the best of your group.
Because you did things that put you in front of people by far.
Correct.
You know, where you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Correct.
I don't think they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry. You know, if honestly, and I hate to go on this all the time because, you know, it's, you know, beating a dead horse consistently. But if you allow these guys in the Hall of Fame, I honestly think that they should let Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame in some capacity.
I agree.
You know, I think it's ridiculous.
Now, you know, look, if the Pittsburgh Pirates or the San Francisco Giants want to put Barry Bonds into their own personal museum, then that's their decision. But when you're talking about the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, that's what it is. It's a Hall of Fame. It's not a museum.
Absolutely. All right, well, enough of baseball. Let's get to our guests. Let's talk some football. So joining us right now is WIFL Commissioner Dion Lee. Dion, thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Anthony. Mike.
Dion, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Beautiful weather out here in Las Vegas.
I was going to say, how are things in Vegas, huh?
Man, the weather out here is great. It's nice and crispy in the morning, about 52 degrees, and high of about 64, and, you know, it lows to about 28 at nighttime, so
Ooh.
That's the desert for you.
Well, it does get a little chilly there. All right, we
can
get that.
It's about 28 here, but we stand at about 40 all day and night. So
yeah, really.
You're a lucky man.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, you know, let's jump right into it. Let's talk WIFL because this is, you know, a new league. It's up and coming. You know, first, let's get it from you. What is the WIFL?
Right.
And, you know, just tell the listeners and tell these girls listening who possibly want to try out for the WIFL. What is the WIFL? What do you envision for it?
All right. Basically, the WIFL is the Women's Indoor Football League. It will be a national professional league. That means where the women actually get paid to play.
Yeah.
Most of the women's football leagues that are out there right now and teams that exist, it's a pay-to-play situation where the players actually pay to play.
Yeah.
Well, we're actually going to put the professionalism on it and actually pay these ladies to play. You're not going to get rich off of it, but the fact is you're playing a sport that you love and you're getting paid to play it.
Yeah. So basically, these girls are going to come in, they're going to play professional football with full mm-hmm. pads.
Oh, yeah, I'll get into that too.
Okay, so full-on pads, and we'll definitely get into that, but they're going to be paid for their time to be doing something they love.
Definitely that, definitely that. Each team will have a salary cap of $80,000 to $100,000 to keep things on a parity level, you know. So, because you might have some markets where you might have owners who got some real money and can pay out, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to the players, and of course they're going to dominate, just like in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny that you guys were talking about baseball earlier, but you look at the Yankees roster, you know, with $400 million roster, and then you got the Milwaukee Brewers who's at $40 million, you know, or $30 million.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the market definitely dictates, you know, what these owners can pay. But we're going to start this thing off with a little parity where, you know, everybody's going to be on an equal playing field. And
mm-hmm.
the general manager will be able to offer each individual player a different contract. So if you choose to spend $20,000 on one player, you got roughly $80,000 left in the pot to split amongst 24 players.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is full-fledged, full-tackle football, all gear. It's a reminiscence of arena football, basically, with the exception that these are women playing it. You know, it's going to be a high-octane, high-scoring, you know, just like the arena league. And it's going to be great. It's going to be great. We get a lot of great calls, a lot of emails, and interest from women across the country that want to play football.
Yeah. And you know what we see just from going on WIFLfootball.com, which is your site, and also Blanchett Sports Holdings, who's a big part of the WIFL, we see that you're partnering up with a lot of people who are interested in being a part of the WIFL, American Airlines, Avis, Swinton Athletics. You know, so these people are really interested, and they really love what you're doing with this WIFL. So this is going to be something really big, isn't it, Dion?
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is, you know, I've got experience in women's football. I mean, I'm not new to the game of football, and let alone new to the game of women's football. I actually own a outdoor team here in Las Vegas called Las Vegas Showgirls. So I've been around women's football for the last 8 years and been to, you know, into three different leagues, how things are being ran, the perception of women playing football, and, you know, the challenges that we have in front of us. And I've been one of those pioneers that have gotten women's football to the next level. We've been on TV. My particular team, Showgirls, have been featured on NFL Film Presents, where one of the young ladies who dreamed about being a quarterback since she was 8 years old to be in the NFL, you know, started out in flag football, and then I wind up seeing her at 14 years of age and waited 3.5 to 4 years before she was 18 to be able to play for me outdoors and became a sensation. And actually, she's in the other league as a quarterback that I brought her into as well. That I've been involved in. And like I said, it's just been a great mission, a great pathway to putting women's football on the next level. These sponsors are coming on board due to the fact that we are staying true to the game. When I say that, we are using regulation rules. We're just on the smaller field and we're indoors, but it's all about the athlete. The perception is the women are athletes, and that's what we're promoting and that's what we're pushing.
Where are we right now, Dion, in the timetable of this? I mean, when are you expecting to actually have teams playing against each other? What's the timetable on that?
Okay, timetable right now is we're doing this barnstorm tour, basically the create the hype, to create the buzz, and look under every rock and pebble to find the best athletes in the United States. So we put together a 20-city tour that's taking place. Actually, I'll be in Los Angeles in the next 3 hours. I'll be in L.A., and it's kicking off there. And then we're going to end in New York on August 31st. And in between, we're going to hit Phoenix, Oakland, Houston, Dallas, pretty much major cities across the country. Our plans are, after this is over with, is to grab our ownership groups that are already interested, those that are going to be interested due to the tour and the hype that we're going to be creating throughout this next 6 months, getting together in September, announcing the actual cities that will be hosting teams, and we want to kick off in January 2014. We feel that it's a prime time because, again, you got NFL and college football. College football is just ending the first week of January. You got playoffs, so now the focus is now on the remaining 16, 8 teams, you know, at that point in time, and football is in the air. We can ride off the wave of the national championship from college football. We can ride on the wave of the playoffs and the Super Bowl and create things in and around that and then keep football interested for fans. From January to approximately April, four and a half months. We're looking at a full-fledged 16-game season per team and pretty much finishing up shortly before the NBA championships. So you're looking at mid-May, we should be done.
How many owners right now do you have lined up?
We actually have about 16 at the moment, which has been our – that's actually our minimum amount of teams that we want in.
Right.
We got a lot of inquiries. A lot of applications have come in. Those who are interested can always hit me up at dlee@wiflfootball.com, and I can get that information out to you, confidentiality agreement, as well as, you know, franchise kit and some other stuff and ownership applications. So we're taking applications from across the country, and we're looking for the best suitable investors / ownership groups to be involved in our organization because, again, I've been involved in women's football for the last 8 years, and most of us as owners of the 135 women teams out there across the country, and I would say maybe 3 to 5 are true investor-type owners.
Yeah.
While the others are actually what I call hobbyists, and there's no disrespect to them, but they created the team in order to play or to allow their wife or their girlfriend or their sister to play. So
right.
They weren't true businessmen and women initially and didn't know what they were getting into and didn't know what the cost was going to be. So we're looking for those investors, those who are out there that have money, that want to own a franchise, that want to get into sports, sports marketing, sports business at a low cost in compared to trying to get an NBA team. You're talking about $500 million, you know, for the Sacramento Kings that's what they're asking for.
Right.
And, you know, NFL team, there's no way in the world that many people can even qualify for, you know, a billion-dollar, you know, franchise. You
know?
So there's only a handful of people in the world that can do that. But we're giving opportunists the opportunity to jump on board and come on in, you know, for, you know, we're looking at around $1 million, $5 million budget that they're going to need in order to sustain this league and sustain the team. Not that it costs that much money to join, it's just that that's what it's going to take in order to sustain and put the 3 to 5 year stamp onto the WIFL. And so that we can have some promising things. And, you know, we got a lot of marketing and TV situations that are coming up. And we're going to be making a lot of announcements over the next 3 to 5 weeks on some very important things that's going to take women's football to the next level.
I mean, this is a pretty aggressive business plan here. I mean, you're talking about essentially setting up a 16-team league in about a year.
Correct.
Do you have – I mean, obviously some of this is going to fall on your ownership groups, but do owners have venues and what have you where they're going to be playing these?
Yeah, definitely that. You know, the thing is we're not going to be, i.e., the WNBA who was pretty much sponsored by by the NBA.
Yeah.
So the venues that we're looking at, we're not looking at the 20,000 seat basketball arenas.
Okay.
You know, we're going to be pretty modest in what we're trying to do. We're trying to achieve anywhere between 3,500 to 7,500 seat venues.
Okay.
Which you have a lot more of those on the East Coast than you do here on the West Coast, just due to weather.
Yeah.
So a lot of ownership groups have definitely come from the cold weather states because there's a lot more venues that, you know, they cater to the hockey arenas, the lower tier hockey teams, you know,
right,
that play in these smaller venues, and those are the venues that we're gonna start off in.
Okay.
If as we grow, we will move into the bigger city venues. You know, hopefully we can get the LA team that will be in the Staples Center at some point in time. But if not, we have to move out a little bit further east into the Inland Empire and work with a smaller venue, Citizen Bank venue, that only holds, you know, 8,500.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you were talking about 16 teams from the get-go. Is there any states that are going to have multiple teams right from the start?
Well, the thing about it is, you know, in putting together a league, the biggest cost is definitely travel.
Yeah.
I don't care
yeah.
if you got 10 people you're taking across the country or you got, you know, 55.
Yeah.
You know, that's a major cost. Our initial goal is to regionalize these teams and have multiple teams in each state to create rivalry. So, for instance, people are asking us, why are you guys going to Montgomery, Alabama? Well, we're going to Montgomery, Alabama because we have Huntsville, we have Birmingham, we have Mobile and Montgomery,
yep.
four major metropolitans in the south of Alabama, and we want to create that as a region, as an area where they're going to play each other at least two times. You know, that's six games right off the bat in division.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we can move a little bit north to Tennessee, a little bit west to, what's that, Louisiana, and a little bit to the right of the states, which will be Georgia. So
mm-hmm.
it's not a situation where we definitely need the airline situation on a consistent basis, but we're going to need that when it becomes national playoff time.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the type of deals that we're working out right now. We have bus charter on board with us. So for the regional things, we'll be doing ground transportation.
Yeah.
On the mm-hmm. national situation, then we'll be doing air transportation, and that's where these partners are coming in with us.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, and sometime soon, we'll be able to make some announcements on a major apparel company that has we're working. I can't say their name as of yet, but we have a couple of them on ready to sign on the dotted line and really elevate women's football. And when I say women's football, I'm talking really women's sports. Because women's sports don't get the ink, they don't get the press, they don't get the talk shows like what you guys have here.
Yeah.
And, you know, to really get you to follow them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're creating here. I mean, we're creating a movement. I mean, beyond the professional level, we've actually started a youth movement as well, which is called What's Up Girls Tackle Football League.
Yes.
It's a national movement. It's going to be based on the same rules as our 8-on-8. Indoor game, but it can be played outdoors, same size field, arena style. It'd be 70 yards long, you know, with 50 yards playing field and 30 yards wide.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a youth movement going on right now in ages 8 to 17, well, actually up to 18, that these
mm-hmm.
these young ladies can play. So we're breeding our football players instead of creating football players out of athletes that ran track, played softball, played volleyball. So now we got a young lady who's put in 6 years of tackle football at a youth level, now has a better opportunity to make our product look better because she's played the game.
Absolutely. You know what? That's amazing, too, because if you look at it from a standpoint of America and high school and college sports, there's a lot of little girls out there that want to play. But unfortunately, there's a lot of peewee leagues out there. They don't allow girls to play with the boys and they don't go co-ed. Now, you know,
mm-hmm.
they get older, they start to lose interest in the sport.
Right.
They can't play high school and college football. So basically you're setting up, or you have set up, What's Up Sports, where these girls can continue to play football from the age of 8 up until 18. And then after that, boom, they have a chance at being in in a professional football league like the WIFL.
Definitely. And see, and the thing about it is, my football career got cut short because of Title IX. I went
mm-hmm.
to Cal State University of Long Beach. George Allen was our coach from the good old days, from the Washington Redskins and the
right.
Los Angeles Rams,
sure.
as okay. well as Willie Brown from the Oakland Raiders. Well, Title IX in the early 90s really cut back on universities because there wasn't the entitlement of having equal amount of scholarships for women and men at the time. And so the largest contributor to scholarships is football. In our school, was a Division I school, but we were the lower end Division I. You know what I'm saying? I remember playing Boise State when they were below us, and we beat them, they beat us. You know, before Boise State was Boise, who they are today.
Right.
But it was funny that now I'm in the fight for Title IX and giving girls and women the opportunity to play a sport. If you look at it across the board, you got men and women tennis, you got men and women golf, you got men and women swimming, you have men and women's basketball, you know, softball, baseball, but you don't have men and women's football.
No, you don't.
So our goal, yeah, so our goal is to model on the professional level, in the youth level, to put the pressures on the university to now offer scholarships for young ladies playing the eights, mm-hmm. you know, and we have the whole system lined up, you know, where, you know, it's only 25 girls on the team, so you're looking at 25 scholarships that you're giving out,
yeah.
and you can have a couple of walk-ons. Pretty much they can play the same time. What's taking an extra 30 people on a road trip? You know, is it really going to cost the University of Michigan that much more money to take that amount of women out, you know? They can play on Friday night, prior to the big game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can be the pregame game. You know, prior to the big game.
Yeah,
so
as long as there's a spot for
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's somewhere between, you know, 10 years down the road. We have to build the foundation first, because the biggest thing that we have with parents is, well, my daughter can't get a scholarship in that. Why waste her time playing football?
Yeah,
and that's why we created the professional.
I think, though, too, you battle the uphill battle here is the social attitude adjustment that is ingrained in all of us. And that is, you know, you say, okay, well, there's, you know, we have baseball teams where we have both men and women. You have tennis teams. You have golf teams. You know, football is viewed as a male sport because of the brutality of the game. And so that's a social attitude adjustment that you're going to be battling. As you go forward, getting people to change their way of thinking about a specific sport like that has been so long ingrained this way is going to be a difficult one, I would think.
Well, look at society nowadays. If you have a lot of girls who are out there who have self-esteem issues.
Definitely.
They have weight issues. They have adjustment issues, meaning how do they work in team environments as far as corporate is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of violent crimes for women in these days because there is no outlet. And that's what majority of football. Now, trust me, there's about 5% of those football players who make the other 95% look bad in things that have taken place over history,
absolutely.
The violent crimes and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an outlet for most of us. I know I've been playing since I was 7 years of age, and I played up until I was 21. But there was a life lesson that you learn if you're around the right coaches that teach you. You know, it's like your rites of passage into manhood. Well, guess what? Women need to have that same rites of passage into womanhood, teamwork, and understanding that it's not all about me. Most women's sports are individual sports, even softball to the point where it's only the pitcher and the catcher and the batter. It's three people actually working, and you got 11 people out there on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've gone to some college softball games, and the outfield never even seen the ball come their way because the pitcher's that good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, where football, everybody has to put in work. I mean, even the backside wide receiver running sweep to the right, if the backside receiver don't get their corner, then that running back who's running down the sideline is not going to score a touchdown. You see what I'm saying? Everybody has to work together to make that play work.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what you're talking about, the whole self-esteem issues. And, of course, in this day and age, you know, we have the bullying and whatnot. And, you know, with women's football, from what we've seen over the last couple of years, you know, there are people out there that are saying, well, you can't play football and be seen playing football if you're not sexy, if you don't have a great body or not. The WIFL is not going to be like that. You just have to be athletically good and athletically skilled in order to be in a WIFL, correct?
Correct. You know, the thing about it, if you compare the outdoor game to the current day, the new LFL, I'm just going to throw it out there, it's definitely a body image face controversy.
Yeah.
You have to have that look to play in the LFL,
mm-hmm.
where in the traditional outdoors, nobody's looking at the face. They're looking at athletic skills and what you can do. So you have big girls. You have small girls. You have medium-sized girls. You have all the integral parts of being a woman out there.
Yeah.
And you're not discriminating based on that Barbie doll look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and don't get me wrong, I actually coach in the NFL, and I actually respect the ladies that are in that particular league because they are athletes. They do
That's
work hard at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
How it's promoted is something that's different,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I was the biggest advocate for the NFL when I was coaching the Vegas Sin on how athletic these ladies are. I mean, I had ex-triple jumper from Cal who jumped 46 feet triple jump.
Wow.
I had a basketball player who can pretty much slam dunk the ball anytime she's under the basket playing on
yeah.
that team.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a question about how athletic they are. It's just how they're being exposed
mm-hmm.
and how it came about 10 years ago with the LFL. You know,
yeah.
at that time it was models trying to be athletes. Now they're changing over to where it's athletes that can be models,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know. And so they're
changing
their perception.
Which is still, you know, one outweighs the other, unfortunately, so...
It does, but it doesn't bring legitimacy to the actual game. It doesn't give the respect to the game. Now,
mm-hmm.
those girls do hit hard. They do get hurt. They do get turf burned. Don't
yeah.
get me wrong.
Yeah, they're very
but
good at
when, yeah. yeah, they're definitely that. But when your fan base is coming for the TNA aspect of it,
right,
and then they have to change their mind because they say, wow, I've had a lot of the guys come to me, I came here for the TNA aspect, but you really convinced me that these women can play football. That's how I knew that what we were doing last year in the LFL for the Vegas Sin was making a difference in how the fans were perceiving the league and women playing the game of sport.
Yeah. Man, you know what? Could you imagine if it was vice versa and people were going to the NFL for the TNA aspect? I don't think, you know, Vince Wilfork could fit into those uniforms.
or what about Tom Brady, his rookie year? I mean, that guy was not even close to being a stud. You know what I'm saying?
No. No,
no,
absolutely.
The women
not.
Weren't even looking at that guy.
No, of course not. Nobody even knew who he was. You know what, man? You know what? If it wasn't for Mo Lewis taking out Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady wouldn't be nobody today. So it's
go back and take a look at Tom Brady's pictures when he played at Michigan. I mean, it's incredible how you know he was a tiny little guy.
Well, you
yes.
know, signing a big contract and by you know being able to get some makeovers and some haircuts, man, you know, it takes a lot for Tom Brady. So, but you know what? You know what? Let's stick with
the WWE. Tom Brady hate alone, will you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a Jets fan, so I have to. But
Tom Brady hate now.
All right, well, Dion, you know what? Let's stick with the WIFL here. You have this big compound tryout tour. You know, you're starting off tomorrow, Los Angeles, California, and like we said, you end in New York City on the 31st. A lot of cities, you know, in between that, we're going to put that up on fanjunkies.net and get that out there for the girls listening today who are really interested in, you know, trying out here. But I, you know what, I have to say this outright right now. I really like what you're doing where you're going into each city and you're going to be donating to charities. You know, the WIFL, you can see, is very respectful in that matter. Right away tomorrow, women's, what is that, the Women's Shelter of Long Beach you're going to be donating to?
Yes, definitely that, definitely that. You know, part of our mission is that we're more than just football.
Mm-hmm.
We are leaders of the community.
Yes.
You know, we're pillars of the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the statement that we're making as a league without even a player under contract. So
yeah.
that's the standard that we want to present as we go out there,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we want to get involved in the community. You know, we're also portions of the tryout fees are going to build the National Youth Organization as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our thing is this. I have 22 years in the music industry where we've had artists who we've had under our label for, say, 2 or 3, 5 years, and nobody's heard of them, and all of a sudden they became a star. Well,
yeah.
no. You had to build that, what we call the Chitlin Tour, you know what I'm saying, where you had to do these small cities and opening acts at the high school and at a college and all these things to groom yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we consider this Combine Tour. So, you know what, we might not start off tomorrow. I don't know what the numbers are going to be. I would love to see 300 to 500 girls out there playing, you know, trying out, you know, for the L.A. market because, again, the L.A. market consists of San Diego, Orange County, Ventura, L.A., Long Beach. I mean, we're talking about 7 teams that we can put in that general market of Southern California because there's over 14 million people within that span.
Oh, absolutely. Mm.
You see,
I mean,
there's
a lot of states you could do it. New York, Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm,
Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of girls and, you know, a lot of athletes out there that you could have numerous amounts of teams in these states.
Yep.
Definitely that. So our goal is, hey, if we get one person there tomorrow, then guess what? We're going to treat that as the one person, and she's going to go through all the drills. She's going to be interviewed by the media that's there, and it gets started that way. And then hopefully by the end of when we get to New York, it's going to be like American Idol. You got people in line trying to get into that 4-hour tryout. You know, that's the creation that we want to create over this 6 months period. You know, it's going to be a slow build. You know, again, people don't even know women play football, first of all. So again, we got to hit every media outlet we can, from, you know, John's Back Shack blog radio to, you know, to ABC radio or ESPN. You know, but we can't get to ESPN yet because, again, you got to have respect. You got to have a history. You got to have things that is in place before they put themselves out there and say, hey, you know what? You need to come out to this tryout. So we're building on that. We have a great staff that we're putting together here nationwide. We're still looking for publicists and members of our organization so that we can team this thing up and build it strong regionally. You know, Carla Williams is doing one hell of a job of, you know, doing some sales and marketing at this moment and bringing in different people. We have Ray, who's doing a great job on the Florida end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one who helps run the organization, and he's bringing in sponsors. So, again, we are really making this the league.
Mm-hmm.
When we're putting a stamp on it and saying, this is what's going to be, this is how it's going to be done, and these young ladies are going to be able to smile and say, you know what, I was part of making her story instead of his story. So, again, I coined and flipped phrases because I'm a marketing guy. We're making her story, and that's what we want to create.
Absolutely. And that sounds great, and I'm sure you know, we'll be hearing a lot about it, and we'll be talking a lot about it on Fan Junkies here in the future, and I'm sure we can definitely get you back on soon, huh, Dion?
Oh yeah, definitely that, man. I'm 24/7. I talk all day. I talk in my sleep. And I talk football all 24 hours in my sleep too. So some people are tired of me even sleeping because I still talk football at that time.
Oh, man, if they start putting you in a room by yourself, man, it's not going to be good.
No, they'll definitely put the straps on me and commit me, because all I talk is women's football. You know, I love football so much that, you know, I sleep, eat, and, you know, shower football. How about that?
No, well, you know what? We definitely see our passion for football. We definitely see our passion for women's football and, you know, the respectful manner that you're creating the WIFL with. And I'm sure it's going to blow up and it's going to be a household name in the future. We can definitely see that already happening.
Definitely. But can I put a couple plug-ins, though, real
Absolutely.
Quick?
Absolutely. Go for it.
Definitely. I'm really wanting folks to go over to the WIFLfootball.com website and definitely click onto our fan page and our fan shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing about it is we have to create that image. We have to get that logo out there. We have to get things on the tabletops or in your office. You know, if you're not a part of women's football as far as being a player, you can always be the number one fan, and you can help promote it. So if you go there, we got the fan shop. You can get a coffee mug. You can get, you know, a mouse. What's the mouse thing again? The mouse pads. You can get T-shirts and things of that nature. We got to get the word out. So, again, if you can't participate as a player, participate as a fan and help promote what we're doing. Again, this is not only just women's football. This is a true movement.
Oh, no, and we can see that already. I mean, the page is great. You're saying everything. That sounds amazing. I'm sure the girls listening in today that are going to want to try out and want to be a part of the WIFL, I'm sure they're sitting there listening with an ear-to-ear smile on their face saying, finally, this is a full tackle, full pad, professional women's football league, something that has been lacked in this country for many, many years. And you're doing it, Dion.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. I mean,
that's
like
great.
I said, man, we are pushing forward and we're making this thing happen. And like I said, like us on Facebook. Again, if you're not a part of it as a player, be the number one fan. Promote it. It's not hard to just hit the like button and hit share with all your friends, because that's how we try to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's that simple. Well, Dion, Listen, thank you so much for coming on here, and we really hope to get you on in a very, very near future to talk more WIFL and see how you're progressing throughout the year before we get to the 2014, openers of all of these games. We're definitely excited about it here.
All right. Well, I'm good, and I'll keep you guys updated, and we'll go from there, and you guys have a great remaining show, and I will talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Thanks
thank you,
so
Dion.
Much, Dion. Take care.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Great stuff. Really, really great stuff.
Yeah, really.
I mean, this is something that, like I said, has been lacking in the country now, is a full tackle, full pads, professional women's football league where you do not have to be a model. You don't have to have an amazing body to play. You just need to have a love for the sport, be skilled, be athletic, and just want to come out and play every day.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly.
Really.
I like the concept, too, of trying to build it from the lower levels, you know, because obviously I think the biggest challenge, or at least one of the biggest challenges they're going to have is, rostering a team. You know, when you don't have a pool to take from, you know, that's going to take years to build up. And the fact that they're looking at that and being conscious of that, that's progressive right there.
Yeah. Well, you know, like we said, too, there's a lot of girls out there that want to play football that unfortunately can't play in other leagues for, you know, various reasons, some that we stated already. And those are the girls that are going to find their way to the WIFL, and they're going to make the WIFL a hit. They're going to make it popular. And not only that, they're going to make a name for themselves, and people are going to look at them and say, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wow, this girl can wing it down the field. This girl can – You know, tackle, you know, like the best people in the NFL can. So, yeah, this is going to be something really exciting, and we'll definitely keep all of our listeners up to date on Dion Lee and the Women's Indoor Football League. Like I said, you can head over to fanjunkies.net later. We'll have a list of all the dates and tryouts for the WIFL, and we'll also shoot it out on our Twitter, @fanjunkiesnet. So if you're a female and you're interested in playing professional women's football with the WIFL, seriously, try to head out to one of the tryouts this year. It's going to be great.
Right.
All right, Mike. Well, staying on football, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, they revealed their final cuts today of who's going to be on the ballot for next season. And we have some real interesting names, Mike, that we were talking about pre-show. First time on a ballot is Michael Strahan of the Giants, Jonathan Ogden of the Ravens, Warren Sapp, who played for the Bucks and the Raiders, as well as tackle Larry Allen of the Cowboys and the 49ers.
Right.
We also have Jerome Bettis, who's been on it for a while, Chris Carter, Tim Brown, Andre Reed, Charles Haley, Kevin Green, Will Shields, Anus Williams, head coach and the legendary Bill Parcells. We can definitely call him that by now, Mike, I would guess,
yes,
right? Legendary
yes.
Bill Parcells.
Oh, absolutely.
And former owners Edward D. Bartolo Jr. of the 49ers, the late Art Modell of the Browns. What we were talking about first is how is Bill Parcells not in the Hall of Fame yet?
Yeah, I was mistaken because I actually thought he was. And I said, wait a minute, I know that I've seen him. I could have sworn I've seen him in a yellow jacket. But no, it's not the case. And that is a bit interesting. You know, I'm wondering if there has been some reluctance to put him in only because perhaps maybe some were thinking perhaps maybe he would, come out of retirement again and end up on a sideline.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I can think of. The other one that I was a little surprised at not being in, we talked a little bit about Jerome Bettis. I think this is his third year on the ballot. He's been beaten out twice by both Marshall Faulk.
Yeah, he has to get in this year.
I would think. So that one surprises me a little bit that he's still sitting there. Of course, there's been a lot of talk about Chris Carter, but Di Bartola, I was a little bit surprised about that one too. I'm surprised he's not been inducted yet.
Yeah, there was a couple of them. I mean, Tim Brown, as we said, even Will Shields. I mean, that guy was a monster.
Yes.
As a defensive back. Listen, automatically you're probably going to see Michael Strahan going in. I think the writers today are going to end up voting him in right away. If Jerome Bettis, Bill Parcells, and Edward D. Bartolo Jr. don't get in this year, I think that would be a travesty.
Do you think Strahan leads it, or would somebody like Warren Sapp lead it?
Honestly, I think Strahan's going to lead it.
Do you?
I definitely do. You know what? Out of the names, I don't see Jonathan Ogden and I don't see Larry Allen getting in on this ballot. I definitely see Strahan getting in. You know, Sapp has a very good chance. I think Jerome Bettis is a lock and has to get in.
I would think.
Also, Parcells and DiBartolo. I mean,
yeah.
I would definitely think those guys would be an automatic lock. But then again, I mean, from what you saw over the past few years in the you know LFL Hall of Fame, as well as what we see almost every year with the MLB Hall of Fame, we're schmucks and we could be taken for a ride again. So.
Oh, right. I mean, we just had a perfect example of that on Wednesday, right? So we could be completely wrong, and you know, it would be kind of ironic if this year it's announced, well, nobody's going into the Hall of Fame in football either. Art Modell, I'm thinking too, he might get a bit of the sympathy vote. Yes.
Possibly because he's gone now.
Yeah.
But you know, he's not going to get him from the Cleveland fans. That's for sure.
No. No. But I'm just thinking in light of the fact that, you know, his passing is somewhat recent.
Yeah, you know, listen, Art Modell, you know, you got to respect the guy. I mean, you know, what he did to Cleveland was kind of shabby. But, you know, at the same time, you know, does an Art Modell belong in the Hall of Fame? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, why not? Does he go in before Parcells and DiBartolo and, you know, Jerome Bettis and all that? No. I don't see it, but
right.
You know, like I said, those five guys we mentioned, I think, should be a lock.
Yeah,
for the NFL Hall of Fame.
I'm just trying to second guess, and the only reason I threw his name out there, I'm thinking to myself that there might be a bit more of a push for Modell this year, simply because of the timing.
Yeah.
That the longer the longer he would sit on the ballot, the less likely it might be that he actually gets in.
Yeah.
That his greatest chance of getting in might actually be on this particular ballot.
Yeah, and this is Bettis' fourth year, correct?
This is Bettis' third, I believe.
Okay, let me see.
He was on the ballot 2 years before that. It said in here, I was reading it.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, this is his third season, and he was beaten out by Folk and Curtis Martin.
Right.
You know what? But what would be funny is if both him and Strahan both get in, which they should. And both of those guys won a Super Bowl their last NFL game.
Yes.
So that makes for a nice story there.
Question I would throw at you, does Chris Carter belong there? Don't get me wrong. I'm a big Chris Carter fan. I really am. I mean, Chris Carter.
I liked Chris Carter as a player. Do I think he's a Hall of Fame caliber player?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he put up some really good numbers. 130 touchdowns. You know, almost 14,000 receiving yards in his career. But at the same time, it's honestly, I think when they look at it, they're going to look at Super Bowls. You know, and I think that's going to be a big part of it.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's supposed to be about the numbers, Mike, and we've heard that before. But at the same time, I think it's going to be about the numbers. So if you look at this list, who is your five to go in?
This year?
Yes.
I was never a big enormous Strahan fan, but okay, I got to eliminate that. You can't, you know, I made the point the other day. You can't think with your heart. You got to think.
You got to think numbers. What they did on the field itself. So
Sapp definitely. Parcells, DiBartolo. There's three. Bettis. There's four. Five. I'm a toss.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, out of all the players we're picking, you know, it's you know what? You could look at Sapp, Strahan. You have to put in Bettis. I mean, you could definitely look at Tim Brown as well.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised at that one, right?
It's tough. You know, it's tough.
Charles Haley. I kind of go both ways on Charles. I look at that and I go, yeah, he should be there. And then I step back for a moment and I go, wait a minute. It's kind of like Chris Carter. Should he really be on the list? I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Green, you can make a couple of fights for there, you know, and say, you know what, you know, one of the first hybrid guys, you know what, coming from linebacker and then going to the defensive end there. I mean,
yep.
You know, not many people saw that in the 90s, and all of a sudden here comes Kevin Green. Mean Kevin Green doing it. So.
Yes.
You know, it's tough, but you know what? I think we're going to be surprised probably.
Oh, I think so. We always are.
Well, we were definitely surprised on Wednesday.
Yeah, but I here's the thing that I think you and I would both be surprised at if Jerome Bettis doesn't get in.
I would be very, very surprised if he doesn't get it. Last year I saw it because I think Folk and Martin were better running backs than him. But on this exact class, he is the offensive player to go in. And I don't see, if he doesn't get it, I don't know what the people voting are doing anymore. So, you know. We only have a little 5 minutes left in the show, so let's talk a little basketball real quick, Mike.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers, something we like to talk about because they've just been awful this year, and the moves they made are stupid. So now here comes Executive Vice President Jim Buss.
Uh-huh.
Throw some comments out there, and I'm going to read these comments, and I'm going to quote it right now. We still like this team a lot. How can you not believe in this team? This team is built to win. It's a very, very solid team. We haven't seen them all together and played together for games. In my mind, we would not consider a temporary fix or blow it up. Why blow up something we have a future with? End quote. Mm-hmm. Here's why I lie. I think this is just a dumb comment by Jim Buss. Let's talk about, this is their roster of the future. Dwight Howard's not under contract. Mm-hmm. Steve Nash is old.
Right.
Kobe Bryant's aging.
Right.
Paul Gasol, he's already a shell of himself.
Right.
He's not going to be back with this team next year. You have a miserable bench. How is this the team of your future? Can you explain that one to me?
Listen, the Nile is more than a river in Egypt. You know what I mean?
It is. You know what? I think we're going to have to buy some geography and some history books for the Lakers. Because, honestly, these comments, I mean, honestly, if I'm the owner of the Lakers and I read, you know, him saying this, I backhand him. What the hell is that?
It's one of three things, okay? It's one of three things. Either he likes to hear himself talk, okay? And maybe he's even a bit, I don't know, senile or something. Or two, he's just trying to talk it up for his fan base because he's hearing the grumblings from underneath. I'd be inclined to say it's the latter.
Yeah.
But what he's trying to do is he's playing cheerleader at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But when you look at the Lakers' record, they're 12 and a half games back now, Mike.
Sure.
Every time we talk, they're 2 games back further than they were at the last show that we have. They're on a 5-game losing streak right now.
Well, yeah, but I mean, when you got the type of personnel that he does, and you're paying the kind of money that they're paying right now for that personnel, what's he going to do, come out and say we suck?
I just like how he says, you know, automatically Steve Nash is the future point guard of our thing. We expect him to at least be here for 3 years. Really? 3 years is your future? That's pretty bad.
I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if he's going to be there for 3 years. Listen, your assessment, Jonathan, is right on with every single one of the players that you touched on. Your assessment's right there. And if somebody like Jim Buss can't see it, or it truly believes his words, then frankly, Lakers fans need to be really, really concerned.
I would think they need to be concerned. I you know what? If I was a Lakers fan, I would be concerned.
Make no mistake. I mean, if my ownership group here in Philadelphia got on and said, made a comment like this, I'd be concerned. All right.
Andrew Bynum is the future of the 76ers. Well,
exactly. Listen, make no mistake. I mean, Collins and Adam Arum have both come out and said, you know, we're not pleased with the way things are. We're not pleased with where things are at. You know, trust us, we're going to be continuing to make moves and changes as we go forward.
Yeah.
So, you know, what does that do? That sends a signal to the fan base that, oh, okay, good. They're recognizing the same thing I do, all right? And that actually helps. I'm not sure what Buss's objective was with his comments.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I really don't. All right, Mike, well,
it's an amusing conversation. That's just
it's fun. It always is with the Lakers and the 76ers this year. I mean, it's just, what are you going to do? But all right, that's our show. Great show. We just want to thank Dion Lee, the commissioner of the WIFL, for joining us. As always, WIFLfootball.com if you want to check it out and see when the tryouts are. And if you're even interested in contacting the WIFL or you want to be a team owner, you can contact Dion at dlee@wiflfootball.com.
Yep.
Get on it. As always, head over to fanjunkies.net, sports social networking, great stuff for the fan, by the fan. And as always, frathousesports.net, you can check out my sidekick and the gang over there. Great stuff. As always, for Mike McShane, I'm Jonathan Ragus. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you all Monday. Enjoy your weekend.
All righty. Take care.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.